Okay, I'm with Laurie Rappaport. Hi, Laurie.
Hi, Serge.
So, how did you get into focusing?
Well, I first became introduced to focusing in 1977, which is a really long time ago. And I first encountered it actually when I was a client in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know that it was called focusing, but it was during when I was in graduate school, and so it seemed like, you know, a useful thing to be a client and work on myself. And as the therapist would be responding to me, I'd be sharing something, and every so often a therapist would say, "And can you sense inside how that is?"
Mm.
And as she said those words, "And can you sense inside how that is?" her eyes naturally sort of softened and closed.
Mm-hmm.
And so mine did too. I would just sort of kind of slow down and like listen inside my body.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as I was listening and waiting, I would get a sense of something. And sometimes it came as an image, or sometimes it came as words. And I would then share that with her. And she, you know, now that I know what focusing is, she would sort of say it back to me, or say back the essence of what I shared with her. And so that was my, you know, I didn't really know it was called focusing. But then I was in graduate school studying expressive arts therapy, and I got, you know, to learn that that was this thing called focusing that was created by Eugene Genlin,
so,
you know, who did his research. Yep.
So what's interesting in the way you learned it is you didn't learn it by learning a method called focusing, by thinking of it as a special skill, but there was something about the attunement you had with the therapist that you were able to notice what was happening in her eyes as she was asking you to sense inside. And between that attunement and the question, the invitation to sense inside, and her gently repeating it, you basically got it at a gut level.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing was, and I felt whole when I sensed it inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I said it, and when she said it back to me, I felt like even if it was something difficult, it was a mixture of, I could feel maybe whatever was difficult, but then something felt so full and connected with myself in a very whole kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt good.
Yeah, so you really had the experience of what feels good in focusing, and from that experience itself is how you you got to wanting to do more of it.
Yes, and because there was another really important connection here is that then as I was doing this in the therapy, this kind of slowing down and closing my eyes and checking inside, I realized that it was so familiar to me.
Mm.
that I had already known that process. And so what it was connected to was that when I was in high school, actually, during those teenage years when you're kind of searching for the meaning
mm-hmm.
of life and that sort of thing, I would, you know, come home from school, go into my room, close the door like many teenagers do, and I would sit on my bed or sit on my floor. And I, for some reason, I don't know how it got there, but I had a sketch pad and some charcoal. And so in my room, I would close my eyes and I would just sit there and I would wait. And then from inside, this image would come and I would draw that image.
Mm.
And most of the images that came at that time in those years of teenage angst were kind of, you know, suffering and a lot of pain and, you know, a lot of people from underdeveloped countries. Those kind of images came and I would draw those images.
Mm-hmm.
And then this amazing thing happened that as I would draw those images, I would feel better. So even though there was this pain or this angst inside, the actual process of getting the image and drawing it, then I felt better.
Yeah.
And so when then I was in this therapy, and then she would have, you know, say, oh, and sense that from the inside, it was like, oh, this is what I do in art.
Mm.
You know, this is what I do. This is what I do in the drawing. And it was the same inside place.
Right.
And so for me, that's how I got connected with this, you know, something about focusing in art. And then because I was in graduate school and I was, you know, talking.
So I want to just stop for a minute. You said something that sounded really very nice. You said it's the same inside place.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, that's a way of knowing that's related not to intellectual category of what that is, or this is art, this is therapy, this is being a teenager. But this is about recognizing that inside place and saying...
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Well, just recognizing that inside place and saying, oh, these are the same things. It's not about the outside categories, but it's grouping them from that inside place.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And they both, yes, they came from the same place on the inside, and they both had a way of accessing sort of this inner image that was, or, you know, sometimes words came too, that was connected to my, you know, the inside place with a body sense.
Mm.
And so there was this knowing that was connected in the body and the mind and, really the heart and soul.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, I didn't think that, but that's kind of like how it felt. That's why I say there was a wholeness to the whole process.
Yeah. Yeah. So if this were a movie, it would be a wonderful segue to say, okay, you had an experience as a teenager, you had an experience as a graduate student in therapy, and then we'd cut to the book and to what you're doing professionally.
Right, good going. Yes, the book. I just completed a book, Focusing Oriented Art Therapy. It combines actually 30 years of work of putting the two together. And, you know, that was in 1977 when I started with focusing. And then very soon, starting in 1979, yes, I was working at a psychiatric day treatment center with clients who had severe mental illness. And that was the first time that I put together the focusing and art therapy with, you know, other people.
You started using focusing with clients in a psychiatric day center when you were starting to work professionally?
Yes. That was the first population, the clinical population that I brought focusing and art therapy to. And, you know, because nobody else was doing this, I did have to trust my felt sense about what seemed right. And it seemed right to help the clients sense themselves in a very gentle and safe way. Because they had so many hallucinations or thought disorders and things like that, it was very hard to sometimes have them really hear what was going on inside below those hallucinations or thought disorders and things like that. And so I found a way of just having them quickly get a sense of how they were in the inside, and then listening to that and finding an image that matched that felt sense. And then to find the stress in their body and to find the tension in their body, and then to draw an image that matched that stress and tension. So for example, one person drew, you know, all of like these hammers coming towards his head and coming towards his feet and coming towards his hands. And that was the image that showed that stress and tension.
Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say that this image was a handle, and instead of using a word, it was the image?
Exactly. Yes. That I would guide them to find an image which exactly was the handle or the symbol of the felt sense. And so then they would draw that. And then after the drawing, you know, they would share about it in like pairs or small groups. And then I would lead another exercise in relaxation or breathing or dance movement. And we'd do that. And then after that exercise, that activity, I would guide them again into sitting and just breathing and becoming aware of their body in a gentle way. And to notice if the tension was there in the same way, or if it was different, or if it moved, or if there were places of relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would help them, you know, to feel safe to listen to their body sense. And again, to get a symbol or a handle for how it felt on the inside. And then once they got that symbol or handle, to find it as an image.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they got a word or phrase, I always say that's okay, too. They can write or draw the word or phrase. And then to draw that image. And that, for example, that same client who had the hammers coming in, the next drawing had the picture of the head and the feet and the body with arrows going out from the body going out in the other direction. So instead of the hammers coming in at him, it was like everything was moving away and the person had a smile on their face.
Oh.
Yeah, the person had, in the drawing, had like, you know, a smile on their face, and their eyes had like, you know, pupils in them, or before they really didn't, and they looked alive and away, you know, and energized. And the clients, you know, and what was fascinating to me is that everybody in the group, their drawings showed the same pattern. So it went from, you know, the state they could show from their felt sense, the image of the state of tension or whatever, and then also the relaxation that came, or the improved, you know, the shift.
Yeah.
And so so going from one drawing to the next, both showed the felt shift that happened within the client.
Mm-hmm. And so, in a way, by having the two drawings, for even for people who may not have the awareness of the felt shift, you have a tangible demonstration that, that a shift has happened. And so it makes it more possible to learn that actually something has happened inside between first and second drawing.
Exactly. That's, for me, that was the power of putting art therapy with focusing, because focusing, you know, it's wonderful and it's internal, and, you know, a lot of such rich things happen. And I just found with that it's very powerful to actually have a way of seeing it, so that it helps to hold on to what the felt sense is and how the felt sense changed. And in a certain way, like, the clients could also then have a reminder of, oh, this is what it's like when, you know, I feel tense, or, you know, when they check inside. And then if I do this thing, you know, whether it was a relaxation exercise or breathing or whatever, it could shift into this, this state that they felt better with.
Yeah.
So it's a great visual cue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. And so after doing it with psych patients, how did you evolve to doing it with other populations?
Yeah, after I was working in the psychiatric day treatment center, then I went into private practice, where there were, you know, many different kinds of clients, people who had, you know, anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, from trauma, couples, families, all kinds of people with health issues. And so I then continued the process of integrating art into therapy. And I think that I worked a lot in therapy in a similar way as I was doing focusing oriented psychotherapy, where, you know, the focusing process is integrated into an ongoing experiential unfolding of the therapy, therapeutic process. And so, you know, I like how Jenlyn says it's sort of like you take bits and pieces from the focusing steps, and they're interspersed really throughout. And depending on, you know, what's needed in a particular moment with the client. So what I got to in that was, or the way that I started to integrate art therapy with focusing, was that as a client was talking about something, and then they began to, you know, there's that way that clients, they're sharing about something and then something is coming up about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about it, it's almost like they're at the edge of something that's important. It was in that moment that, like the therapist said to me, as, you know, oh, can you sense inside how that is? I would do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Invite the client to sense. So I'm trying to sense, like, what might be an example of of something. So let me see. You know, a client was talking about sharing about the loss of her mother. And she was talking about, you know, what happened. And then I could see that she was starting, like, her face was starting to change color and get a little bit flush.
Yeah.
And her eyes were becoming more moist. And her voice was changing a little bit. Like, there was feeling kind of coming up. And so you know, in a sensitive moment of attuning to that, I then, you know, I could also see that she was trying to hold that back. So I just invited her to, you know, see if she could be friendly to that was coming up, and to notice, you know, what was happening in her body right now, you know, and to sense how that feels, how it is on the inside.
Yeah.
And so we would both, you know, slow down, and she would quiet, and so then she would start to sense that. And I would wait. And then I would ask her to see if there was an image or a word or a phrase or a gesture, mm-hmm, or a sound that matched or acted like a handle for that inner felt sense.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, finding the handle or the symbol.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if an image came, I would then invite the client to express the image in a drawing or in some kind of art making.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it was a natural process of getting the image and then moving into the art.
Mm-hmm.
And so then as the client expressed that image in the artwork, then, you know, the felt sense continues to unfold during the drawing process.
Mm-hmm.
And so the client draws until it feels like, okay, that feels, you know, that feels done. But this inner change is happening both inside the body and also in the artwork.
Yeah. So I can see, to go back to, you know, that scene of you as a teenager in the room listening inside and then drawing, that what you're doing is providing the structure for the client to be able to slow down, to sense inside, to be friendly, and to have the process continue to unfold into the drawing.
Yes, exactly. And then once the client finishes the drawing, then I ask them to share something about it, whatever they would like. And so they both can share about the drawing and the felt sense on the inside. So there's the inside and the outside.
Mm.
And then what's powerful as a therapist is I can see in the drawing the visual representation of the client's felt sense on the inside.
Mm.
And so the client also has the experience of, I am seeing, as the therapist, we are seeing together the felt sense, the felt experience.
Yeah.
It's very powerful.
Yeah, so it's making it really present and shared.
Yeah. And I think it helps with the client really having a sense that the therapist, you know, can empathize,
mm-hmm,
you know, through seeing and sensing and then saying it back, you know. And then from that process, you know, what happens next is, you know, the focusing steps can get integrated next. So that
I want to just stay there, Lori, to that moment, because
yeah,
it's very powerful when you're saying that the what this image does is that you know, that sense of that the empathy is tangible. You
yes
know the yeah. So that's really very, it's experiential in the sense of the client going into their own experience, but it's also a sense of experiencing the empathy and not being alone with that process.
Exactly, exactly. And so then the therapy process can unfold with focusing and the art. by integrating the asking and receiving steps of focusing,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, depending on what the client shares in that, the therapist might invite the client to go back inside after drawing. And then maybe there's a question to ask inside. That's one way, you know. So it could be something came out more in the drawing and then there's another thing to ask. Or to just sense how it is after drawing, you know, checking in, just seeing where the client is at.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, sometimes it results in a second drawing or a third drawing. But it doesn't have to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are art therapy methods or techniques for working with the art more. There are dialogue methods for working with the art where the client could ask the art questions. You know, it could be verbal, it could be written. And that integrates both, you know, whole lot of things with, in a way, using the Jungian active imagination
mm-hmm.
along with the felt sense. So that's a lot to explain.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a rich thing for right now to say that both the processing happens both in within the body in the felt sense and also the art is used in that kind of a way.
Yeah.
It's very powerful and also very integrating.
Mm-hmm. So, would it make sense to maybe, instead of the moment by moment process, to maybe look at, the course of therapy for, say, an anxious or a depressed client or a specific case and to see how maybe this has been contributing to treatment?
Right. So you mean sort of to reflect overall on a longer term?
Yeah. You know, because what you described is what happens in a session.
Right.
And
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, just does it make sense to look at it that way over longer term?
Sure. So maybe can you ask a little more specifically what you'd like to know about a longer term, like so that I could
sure.
answer it in a brief way, but full, you know.
So I'm not sure what my question is, honestly. More to sense that I had a really good sense of what you were describing on a moment by moment, you know, in the session. And, you know, what was interesting is you say it's a very integrative process, which I have, you know, I can see. So I am curious to see in a way how session by session something builds up for, say, a depressed person or an anxious person or the person who had grief or, you know, just how do you see that happening? Maybe in the kind of art they bring up in their, how does it show up over time?
Okay. Yes. I got it now. Well, I'm thinking of a client who had a history of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to work with clients who have trauma is so, the therapist has to be so conscious of safety that really is the most important thing from, you know, the very, very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, focusing is, you know, again, it's like what I was saying about the working in a psychiatric day treatment, because focusing is in the body, you know,
we have to first know that clients can feel safe to connect with their bodies. Mm-hmm. And so with trauma, it's especially important. And so I go very, very slowly. And one of the first things that I do is, like with this particular client, I actually had them first sense a protector.
Mm-hmm.
As I do, because especially with trauma, protection is one of the things that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow they weren't protected and something traumatic happened. You know, whether even in a, you know, if there was a traumatic car accident, you know, there's that lack of protection or something from, you know, sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So have the person, sense, imagine a protector and then to take a moment and to sense what it would feel like to have this protection.
Mm-hmm.
How it would feel in their body. And to breathe with that. And then to get a felt sense of how it would be to have this protector, this protection,
mm-hmm.
and this protector in their body.
Mm-hmm.
And once then, so this client, you know, received an image, and then I invited her to draw the image of the protector. And what happens is, as the client was drawing, this is the thing about art therapy, is that as the client is drawing, it's deepening the experience of
mm-hmm.
the sense of protection. So with the felt sense in focusing, you can find it and you sense it and you can be with it and know it. And then the drawing of it, I believe, helps to deepen that experience in the
mm-hmm.
body.
Mm-hmm.
And in the body mind. And then the client has that drawing to be a reminder. So anyway, that's sort of like the first phase in terms of the long term.
Right.
And then once the client feels safe, then I also do a lot with the clearing of space.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that's also in the early phase, where I teach the client how to notice things in the way of feeling safe or notice things in the way of feeling fine, and to take each thing, you know, and to set it at a distance. And so with people with trauma, or, you know, just other people too, I use concrete things, like I might have a box that they can like write on a different piece of paper, or make something that they can put in the box to symbolize the thing that they're setting aside
mm-hmm.
that's in the way. Or they might put something in a paper bag. Anyway, they do this whole, you know, setting each thing aside, and they learn how to, instead of being overwhelmed, take things and set it at a distance so that they can have more space from it. And once they do that, then I also have them sense that all find place inside the place that is okay, and to create something to represent that in art.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very powerful thing, because usually with trauma or, you know, depression or anxiety, those feelings are so overwhelming, they take over the person.
Yeah.
And it's hard to sense the place that's okay, separate from all of that. So by concretizing it in the art, by really setting it down, it really helps to help hold the space of that place that's all fine. And then they create something. So sometimes, you know, like one person created something that looked like a radiant sun.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it has that kind of luminous kind of quality.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the next thing that I kind of work on with the long term.
Yeah. So I can see how every step of the way, there's a way of concretizing and integrating that step with both the art and the felt sense, and that you know, allows for that progression and how you can see it in the art as it goes.
Right. And so then the next phase is more of the kind of working through phase. You know, once the client feels safe enough to have the felt sense and go through the feelings and all of that, then sometimes they work more directly, you know, this particular client worked more directly on the releasing the trauma and the memories and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that also got expressed through art. And, you know, in terms of the long term, it just, then, you know, as that gets worked through, it really is an unfolding, kind of like the way I was describing the moment to moment.
Yeah.
You know, and then eventually what happens is, I think the person, you know, I'm thinking of the client, they recover much more of their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And are able to, you know, I think it's sort of like the accumulation of the felt shifts that they kind of, you know, the pain and the suffering and a lot of that unfolds into, you know, at the same time, there's this more resilience and life affirming energy and wellness kind of getting, I don't know what the right word is, like, it almost feels like excavated, you know, like they're kind of, it's coming out in the process.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and then I think of the later phase, you know, where focusing is used and they can find more of their strengths and they can focus, on, you know, what it feels like to feel good or what it feels like to feel safe or what it feels like to imagine, you know, to bring more of what they want in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And, to use focusing in that kind of a way. I like that, you know, a lot of times, you know, in the past, I remember learning focusing in the Jenlin or someone say, it's like, you know, you can focus on good things too. You know? And so
yeah.
I think that's a big part of the therapy also.
So Lori, as we end this conversation, do you have anything you want to say as a conclusion of it?
Yeah, what I'd like to say is that while I've been talking about sort of doing focusing and art therapy with clients, I want to conclude with how valuable it is for me to live with focusing and art therapy for myself, and how important I think it is for, you know, any of us practicing it with others to just be living with it. And so, you know, for me, because it's also been like over 30 years of focusing, it is natural for me. But it's so valuable to just, you know, as I go through the day, to just stop and pause and check inside. And to have that inner glance. And it's just so beneficial. And then, you know, using the art, that there are just simple ways that I use it in a daily way. A lot of times, just even before going to sleep, I keep a little journal, a tiny one actually, right near my bed. And I do a little focusing. I just close my eyes, kind of like when I was a teenager. I guess I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just close my eyes and I wait, and I either get an image, or sometimes I clear space before I go to sleep, which is a wonderful way to go to sleep at night. And then I like to end with the all fine place. So I just want to speak to how we can do it in very simple ways.
Thanks, Lori. This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.